I'm Leslie Weidenbender. Today on No Limits, we're talking about home improvement with some real experts in the field, folks from the popular Ask This Old House television show, and a local real estate agent who has seen some good and bad results from DIY projects. We'll find out why Ask This Old House is in Central Indiana, talk about projects that are good for the DIYer to try, and find out how those improvements can affect property values. Our guests are Kevin O'Connor, host of Ask This Old House, Chris Wolf, the show's producer, and Vicki Kinworthy-Wright, an agent with Carpenter Realtors in Indianapolis. Please join the conversation. Call us at 866-476-3881, email nolimits@wfyi.org, or connect via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now this news.
Support for No Limits is provided by WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th state university. Information about earning a degree from WGU, an accredited online nonprofit university, is available at indiana.wgu.edu.
Welcome to No Limits. I'm Leslie Weidenbender, managing editor of the statehousefile.com, a news website powered by Franklin College journalism students. I'm sitting in today for John Kroll, and I'm really excited to be here because today we're going to be talking about home improvement with some people who really know their stuff. On the phone, we have Kevin O'Connor. He's the host of This Old House and Ask This Old House, which both air on WFYI Public Television. And he's also the host of This New House on the DIY Network. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Good to be here, Leslie. Thank you for having me.
In the studio, we have Chris Wolf. He's the producer of Ask This Old House. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
And we also have in studio Vicki Kinworthy-Wright, a veteran real estate agent with Carpenter Realtors in Indianapolis. Thanks for being here, Vicki.
My pleasure.
You can call us to join the conversation at 866-476-3881. You can email nolimits@wfyi.org or connect via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. So This Old House really started what has become just an incredible and popular genre of home improvement shows. And it's become its own huge enterprise. You have the TV shows, the magazines, the website. But today we're going to focus a little bit on Ask This Old House because the show is in Indianapolis for some segments. Kevin, I wondered if you could start by telling us a little bit about Ask This Old House and what makes it different from the other programs in the franchise.
Well, as you said, you know, This Old House has quite a legacy. That show started in 1979, believe it or not, and is still going strong as the most watched home improvement show on television. But if you're familiar with the show, on This Old House, we do an entire renovation of a house over the course of most of our 26-episode season. So for nearly a year, we are showing how to bring back an old home, and we're showing off really people's sort of dreams. You know, what can you do if you had an old house and you had some of the finest craftsmen out there? What makes Ask This Old House very different is the scope of the project. Rather than renovating an entire house, Ask This Old House focuses on weekend projects that most homeowners are facing and most homeowners could probably do in a day or two. And so our experts crisscross the country, ring doorbells, and we will help them with smaller projects and more sort of maintenance and fixes around the house. So it's a lot more accessible show, and its content, the focus is very different from This Old House. It is the same craftsman, it is the same trusted advice, and it is still appealing to people who are passionate about their homes. We're just doing it in a much smaller way.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of fun to watch because you get to see the guys on This Old House and Ask This Old House in different situations. Chris, you're in Indianapolis for some segments. Can you tell us anything about what you're doing and when we might be able to see it on the show?
Sure. As Kevin mentioned, on Ask This Old House, we travel the country tackling these kinds of projects, and we wanted to come to Indianapolis and try to do a couple projects while we're here. So on Tuesday earlier this week, we were in Irvington, and we did a project where we helped a homeowner install hardwired smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors throughout her house. And these are smoke detectors that would bring the house up to code and will communicate with one another so that when one smoke detector or CO detector goes off, it communicates with the others and they all go off. So it's a much safer type of system. Yesterday, we were in Broad Ripple neighborhood of Indianapolis, and we tackled a project where we were doing the rough plumbing in a for a new basement bathroom. So we're down in the basement. We've got to break up the concrete floor. We got to get the drain lines in the floor and the proper pitch on all the drain lines.
I've got a project like that in my house.
Okay. Well, we'll be right over. But that was it was a good project. And again, it's a project that is one that a lot of homeowners want to do, and we thought it was a good project for our show. We partnered with a local company to help us do that. A company called Service Plus. They did a great job helping us out, and we appreciate their help. Today we're installing a faucet, a kitchen faucet, just a replacement, a little bit more straightforward. But again, one of those projects. If you have a leaky kitchen faucet, or the spray hose doesn't work, or it's not working the way it used to. You know, sometimes those really small improvements can make a big, big difference, and that's what we're doing today.
So when will we be able to see these on TV?
Well, our season premieres, our 12th season of Ask This Old House, I should say, premieres in October. And these segments will air likely in the first couple of months of the season, so in the fall.
And so for those folks who follow the show, which of the experts does this mean we're here in Indy?
Well, Kevin helped out with the smoke detector project on Tuesday, and we also worked with our electrician, Scott Caron. And Richard Trithui is our plumber, and he's tackling the other two projects.
So, Vicki, these shows, I'm addicted to them. I know there are lots of other people addicted to them. How has this genre of TV changed the way people look at houses when they're searching for houses? I mean, are they looking for fixer-uppers as a result, or are they now looking for things that are already done?
Both. I wish that we had people like this around us all the time that could help with home selling, but some people want to tackle a fixer-upper, and they get ideas off of the shows such as This Old House. Some people want to go into one and think this is something they want to do. They don't realize a lot of times all the issues that they might come across and might see that really scare them away. So you see both out there. But I think the shows on the decorating end of it have really helped a lot for people to see that they do need to make some changes with their home, especially if they're going to sell it. You don't always live in your home the same way you live in it when you're going to sell it.
Kevin, how often do you see folks, especially with Ask This Old House, how often do you see folks who have just gotten in over their heads and that's why they've called you?
Twice a day. By the time we're involved, it's usually because the homeowners have got themselves into a corner or there's been some sort of a hiccup in the plans. And that's kind of why we're there. Usually we're dealing with homeowners who are passionate about the houses, who are trying to do it themselves, but they may find that they need a little bit of expert advice. And that's really the thrust of Ask This Old House. Let us come, give you some good advice, and lend you a helping hand. Because the guys that we work with, for example, Richard Trithui, as Chris mentioned, who's with us in Indianapolis, is a fourth-generation plumber. He's also a very smart guy when it comes to HVAC systems, heating and cooling and such. And if you had just 4 or 5 hours with the top guy in his field, he's going to help you get out of a lot of jams. So we see it all of the time, but that's what we're looking for. That actually brings a smile to our face.
Can you tell us a little bit, Chris, about how you find these homeowners?
Sure. We get thousands of questions every month through our website. It's thisoldhouse.com, and people write in and explain their problem. They tell us what's going on. As Kevin mentioned, sometimes they're in a little bit over their head. Sometimes it's a problem that they can't get a local contractor to come out and take a look at for whatever reason. Or maybe it's just a problem that they want to tackle themselves, but they need a little bit of help with. A big part of my job is to go through those thousands of questions and try to find the ones that we think are going to make the most interesting segments for our TV show, ones where we think they're going to be relevant to as many people as possible, ones where we've got the right solution for the problem that they have, and ones where the homeowners are able to articulate their problem and describe exactly what's going on, because we're trying to make a TV show and make it interesting and informative for people.
I'm confident Richard Trithui could come in and do some of these tasks in very little time, but I suspect that there's a lot more that goes into this since it's a TV show. How long does a typical segment take to plan and then to execute?
Generally speaking, I talk to the homeowners ahead of time. I work with another producer as well, and we talk to the homeowners, try to understand the problem, and sometimes they'll send me pictures. If I need to see exactly, they'll send me a digital picture of what's going on. And once we feel like we've got a pretty good understanding of what's going on, that may take anywhere from a couple of days to a couple of weeks to really understand it. We'll make arrangements and then and schedule a trip and plan for it. When we actually tackle the project itself, a project that might take Richard a few hours on his own will probably take us half a day or a day to do if we're trying to make a TV show at the same time. It does slow things down a little bit, but we do that so that we can present the information as clearly and as accurately as we can. We're trying to first and foremost provide useful and accurate information to people who are watching the show. So we take our time doing the segments to make sure that the camera angles are exactly right, that the words are exactly right, that the lighting is exactly right. It is a little time consuming, but we hope well worth it.
Vicki, how often do you get a call from someone who wants to sell their house and then you get in there and realize that they have been overwhelmed by some kind of project and maybe there's something undone there?
That happens frequently, but most of the time they continue to think that there is an easy fix and there's really not. And one of the questions I had for Chris was, one of the things that you are lucky, I don't ever see you guys having to run to the hardware store several times during the events like we do at home in the real world. But when people do have an issue that they cannot fix, they've got in the middle of it and they can't finish it, we always recommend that they get a professional in there to finish it. There are some projects that if you don't know what you're doing, you can really be a detriment for the safety of the home even. So,
Kevin, can you talk a little bit about that? Maybe what kind of projects you found are pretty good for homeowners to try themselves, and what are the ones that you recommend that folks really hire a professional to do?
Well, generally, I think, you know, electricity can kill you and plumbing can flood you out. And so if you're uncomfortable working around electricity, even though sometimes it can be very simple projects, if you're uncomfortable working around electricity, you should certainly call an electrician because, you know, putting your hand in the wrong place or leaving a circuit on, that can really be a problem. And again, with plumbing, a lot of the fixes are actually fairly straightforward, but if you haven't turned off the right valve, you could end up with quite a mess on your hands. So those are the ones I generally say to people. If you have any sort of trepidation, make sure you call a professional to help you out with those. But that being said, I believe there is a ton of things that homeowners can do, and I often encourage them to sort of dive right in. Most of the problems that we solve and the techniques that we use seem complicated in sort of the aggregate, but they're really made up of individual, small, and fairly basic techniques that are all cobbled together by a professional. And most homeowners can do a lot of that. You know, most homeowners can do some basic carpentry. They can certainly do demolition. They can certainly do a lot of decoration, a lot of repair work, fixing doors, hanging doors, and such like that. So we're generally kind of the mindset of, you know, dive in and roll up your sleeves. If you hit a jam, well, you're calling a professional and you're no worse off than you were if you hadn't given it a try. But you might be further along or you might actually have gotten through the project.
Kevin, you've got an MBA from Boston, I saw, and a history degree from the College of Holy Cross. How did you end up in this position?
Yeah, it wasn't a very direct route. The short story is that I was in finance. My wife and I had bought our first house. We were doing basically a room-by-room gut renovation of the home. We had wanted to do that. We were looking for a kind of a beautiful old house that was kind of run down. And while we were working on it very quickly, we were one of those homeowners that got in over our head and just said, wait a second, you know, I can do a lot, but I can't do it all. And having grown up as a fan of the show, This Old House, watching it with my brothers and my father, we reached out to them by sending them a letter looking for some information. It happened to be the first season I've asked this old house, and Chris ended up going through the mailbag, found my wife's and my email, and they called us up and said, hey, we'd like to shoot an episode of Ask This Old House at your house. We were thrilled. You know, I knew the guys was passionate about the television show. Said yes, they came up. We filmed the segment and thought that was kind of it. Went back to my job at the bank, and 2 months later, Chris called, and that led eventually, very soon thereafter, to an offer to be host of both shows, which is, you know, my good fortune, but something that really just never happened in this business.
That's great.
I jumped at the opportunity.
Well, we've been talking about Home Improvement and Ask This Old House, the television show, and you can join our conversation by calling 866-476-3881, emailing nolimits@wfyi.org, or connecting via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I'm Leslie Weidenbinder, sitting in today for John Kroll, and we're talking about home improvement today with our guests, Kevin O'Connor, host of Ask This Old House, Chris Wolf, the show's producer, and Vicki Kenworthy-Wright, an agent with Carpenter Realtors in Indianapolis. Vicki, can you tell us a little bit about how the home market is doing right now in central Indiana?
Well, we're definitely improving from what we've had over the last few years. I believe the entire market is up about 14 to 17%, which is excellent. The average sales price is up, and homes are staying on the market a lot less time now. So that's a big deal for Indianapolis. We're very excited.
And are you finding that the stock of new homes are moving faster than older homes, or?
You mean brand new build job versus previously lived in home? No, I think that the builders are back on track. I think they're doing well, and I think that the resale of homes is good for the resale as far as an older home goes. We have fewer homes on the market, so right now, for the first time in many years, it is more of a seller's market than a buyer's market, although buyers certainly have a good time right now with the interest rates as great as they are.
Well, we're going to go to the phones. We have Lyndon from Plainfield. How are you doing today, Lyndon?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. What's your question for our guest today?
Well, my wife and I are expecting to buy a home, and taking from kind of television shows we're talking about, we got a perfect offer. Now, we're going to be FHA buyers, and I just want to kind of find out what we should look for, what we should definitely try to avoid. You know, we're not really afraid of a lot of work, but we don't want to get in too far over our heads.
Thanks for your call, Lyndon. Can one of you give some advice to Lyndon about picking out a home that might be a fixer-upper?
Well, the first thing that you want to think about is how much work are you really willing to do yourselves? And if you are going to be getting an FHA loan or mortgage, you have to remember that they may not always loan all the money you need if the house needs major renovation or major repairs. There are several different types of mortgages out there that could help you get a loan for the repairs that you want to make, but there are also some limits on that. Your best bet would be to talk directly to a lender of your choice or a realtor of your choice who can kind of guide you through that process.
Chris, you've talked to a lot of homeowners through this. What are your thoughts about how much of a project might be too much, especially for maybe a first-time home buyer?
In terms of purchasing a new house? Well, it's, again, as Kevin said, homeowners can do a lot. You know, we want to empower homeowners to tackle a lot of projects themselves. But that being said, when it's your first home, when it is an entire home that you are unfamiliar with, it can be overwhelming, and I've certainly seen homeowners who didn't know what to expect, who certainly, you know, were in a little bit over their heads and needed some help to just tackle the basics in their house. You know, I guess my recommendation would be that, you know, for the most part, you should look for a house that it doesn't need to be in necessarily move-in condition, but the basics have to be there. You know, you want to be comfortable. You want to have a room or two that are set that you can not just live in but be comfortable in, and allow you to work in other areas of the house. And if you can break the project into smaller pieces that way, I think what might have been unmanageable can be manageable.
I agree. I also want to point out, before you purchase the home, get a home inspection, find out if there are major defects that need to be repaired, and then decide whether you're going to tackle that project yourself or if you're going to get an expert in, because no home is perfect.
Kevin, you mentioned that you had done some home improvement even before you got chosen to be on the show. What were some of the biggest projects that you did on your own?
Well, we did some pretty big ones, but to get back to the gentleman's question, just one point to add, you know, there are certain components to the house that I think are generally out of the scope of an amateur's ability. And there's things like the foundation, the sill, the roof, the electrical wiring behind the walls. If you walk into a home situation and there's a problem with the foundation, you're not going to be able to fix that yourself, really. That's going to be a big project where you're bringing in professionals. And so there are some of those categories that I always recommend people, when they're out there hunting for a home, to really look for, because they're things that they're not going to be able to do themselves, most likely, and they're things that are going to have to be addressed. And they can be big-ticket items. You can imagine what would go into having to fix a rotted sill around the entire house. So those are some of the things that I would recommend Lyndon to take a look at. In terms of our own projects, we pretty much did it all when we moved into the house. I mean, we did it over the course of 7 or 8 years, so it took a lot longer than the guys who I work with would ever consider doing it. But we did bathrooms over, we did the kitchen over, we did flooring, we did reconditioning windows, we did trim work, new doors, we did bedrooms, we moved walls, we added arches. We worked on the outside. We tore up a porch, put in a new one, built laundry rooms. Imagine pretty much every room of the house. We ended up, you know, gutting what was there and putting back in something new, which is part of the reason why it took us 7 years.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all that you ended up getting chosen to be on a home improvement show. It sounds like you had done pretty much the whole place.
Well, we had started doing that, and then I got the job, and I continued working on the house. And so a big thing happened very early on in my own renovation, and that was all of a sudden I had access to Tom Silva and Norm Abram and Richard Trisilli and Roger Cook. So I, was one of those guys who, instead of having to write a letter to the show or pick up the phone, I would just show up on the job site this morning, and I'd handle my problems and say, "Tommy, I'm in a jam again. This weekend, I took a wall down. What do you recommend?" So I had it a lot easier than most homeowners.
Yeah, I think we're all pretty jealous. I think we're all pretty jealous of that.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was a lot of time and effort, but it's something that my wife and I loved doing, and we had a lot of fun doing it. There were some late nights, but we mostly had a lot of fun doing it.
We're going to Bob, who is a caller from Indianapolis, and has a question for us. Go ahead, Bob.
Yes, first of all, I want to say I commend the producer of Ask This Old House and This Old House. I think it's a very well-written show. I think that it's one of the shows that you can look at and you can really take interest in the people that you have on the show, as far as like your host, like Mr. O'Connor and everything, because I know one time you had another guy on there before he was on there. Can't think of his name. I think he went to like a doing grain house project or something like this. It was way back when. And I just thought that to switch up, I mean, well, not to switch up, but to fill in his spot, because I thought he did an excellent job.
What was your question today, Bob?
My question was about two questions, actually. One is doing condos, if you have a flat and if you're buying a condo above you, is it possible that you could, if you want to cut through the concrete, and then get a, stairs built up to the second level? That would be the first question. The second question is about house. If you bought a house have a house for about $35,000 and it has equity in it for about $80,000 and it pretty much needs everything. So I'm wondering, if that's possible, looking at whoever the contractors are, is that a doable thing, or am I going into it too far on that house?
All right, Bob. We'll see what these guys have to say.
Thank you.
And so let's start with the condo question. Have you guys done much work on condos, and does that present some special challenges?
On the show, have we?
Yeah.
Kevin, I don't know. I can't think of an instance where we've worked on a condo. Kevin, can you recall?
Not in many years. I mean, the Bigelow Project in the second season was ended up being a condo situation, but I'm not quite sure the question is so much related to sort of the legal configuration of a condo as it is to adjoining two properties that are already in place. And the first thing that jumped out to me is if he's talking about cutting through concrete that divides a lower floor and an upper floor, that is definitely something for a professional, because that's going to be a structural floor that's actually holding up quite a bit, very different than actually a wood-framed structure. And so if that was his point, that is one of those things that immediately, to my ears, kicks it into a professional's realm of something that should be done by a pro, and even possibly have a structural engineer go in and look at that.
And that's just physically getting it done. I would imagine there's a whole host of legal and other issues involved when you're working with a condominium association. So,
Vicki, right. What kinds of questions come up when you're trying to renovate or buy or sell a condo?
Well, a condo is basically you're buying a home, just like you are when you're buying a house, only some situations you're not buying the ground around it. And there are different types of condos. Some of them are one level and you have the ground and it's freestanding, and then you have tiered condos. So the legality of it is just the same as if you're buying a home. You have to get title. It will have a tax ID number. If you were going to do any renovation, you'd actually have to own both condos, the lower and the higher one, before you could do anything like that. But condos are a great investment. We sell plenty of them around Indianapolis. They're lovely.
Yeah, it seems like we've had a big explosion, too, especially mm-hmm. downtown, and the number of condos that
absolutely.
Are available.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to say thanks to the caller, to Bob, for those thoughts about the show. We appreciate hearing from our viewers, and it's nice when people appreciate the show and feel like they're learning something. One very slight thing that I wanted to just perhaps correct is he said it was a very well-written show, and the show isn't written really in any sense. So we sort of pride ourselves on the fact that we don't have a script for the show, that for the most part what you see is what you get on the show, and the contractors that you see on TV, they are responsible for the content of the show. And it is their expertise and their knowledge and their skills and their techniques that we try to put forward on the show. And I don't arrive at a shoot with a script that I ask everyone to recite. I try to facilitate a situation where I can put Richard Trethewey or Tom Silva or Roger Cook in a situation where they can teach, and that's what they do best.
I do think one of the things that distinguishes Ask This Old House and This Old House from some of the other shows is the amount of education that takes place and the experts that you have. Do you sometimes have to do a few takes of an explanation in order to get it to the point where you think a DIYer at home can figure it out?
No, we always get it on the very first take. No, I wish that were the case. It would speed things up considerably. But no, we certainly do multiple takes. And again, the idea there is we are trying to communicate the information as accurately, as clearly as we can. And if that means we have to reposition the camera to get a slightly different angle so you can see the tool a little bit better, we want to do that. If the words aren't exactly right, if there's a lot of times there's a precise meaning of the terminology and the language that we use, and we listen intently and try to make sure that we are using exactly the right language so that the viewers who are both homeowners and oftentimes contractors themselves really understand the project and the materials as best they can.
I want to go back to something Vicki said earlier in the show. She brought up the fact that when you're watching a project on TV, sometimes it feels like you guys never have to run out and get an extra
sure.
tool.
But we do. We absolutely do have to run out and get an extra tool. You don't always necessarily see it on TV, but we also have the benefit of having thought about these projects for, as I said, a couple of days or a couple of weeks ahead of time. And I joke sometimes that, you know, my part of my job is to bleed all of the spontaneity out of these segments and try to anticipate everything that could possibly come up. And we were pretty hard to do that.
Very good at his job.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin.
Well, Kevin, I was going to actually ask, and maybe you won't want to say, but have there ever been situations where you've gotten into and thought, wow, what are we doing here? What are we going to be able to pull this one off?
Well, I'm happy to say that we get into that situation from time to time. Yeah, and, you know, from my side of the camera, as we go through these multiple takes, there's always this moment when the scene is done that we all sort of take a, you know, we take a breath, and then we kind of look in Chris's direction. And if he's got that one finger up, you know, we call it the biggest lie in television production, where he says, "One more time, guys." And it's usually about 6 or 7 more times that we have to do before we get that language accurate on the camera in the right place. I've been on shoots where the pizza shows up at 6 o'clock, about an hour and a half after we were expected to be done. And we keep going, and then we're microwaving and reheating the pizza at 9:30, and then we're rolling out of there at 11 o'clock at night because we just stuck around and made sure we got it finished. When you start opening up walls and taking apart old wires and pipes, there's just no guarantee of what you're going to find, and sometimes, you know, even the smartest minds in this business, a guy like Richard Trefusi, gets in behind a shower, and there's something there that's unexpected. And so we press on and get it done. Now, do we tell that in a 4.5-minute segment on television? No, because that's not really the point. But it's good for people to hear that it actually happens, because when they're dealing with contractors and when they're dealing with old houses and renovations, you know, I always advise people to kind of put yourself in their shoes for a second. Imagine walking into a strange house and trying to tell a homeowner exactly how long going to take and how much it's going to cost to dig behind the walls and fix a problem that is unseen, sort of unknown. It's a very difficult thing to do. And so there needs to be quite a bit of patience on the part of homeowners, because a lot of this stuff trips you up and you bump into these things all the time. And we do on the TL television show as well, even with some of the best guys in the trade.
I think I can give you an example of a project where you'll see a glimpse of some of the issues that we run into. We tackled a project a few weeks ago where we thought it would be a relatively straightforward project. It was a plumbing project, and the homeowner had a leak in the ceiling below a bathroom. And she described the problem, and it seemed pretty clear that the problem was the way the toilet was seated on the flange, that the wax ring that makes that connection had failed, and we went in to remove the toilet and replace the wax ring and solve the problem. Well, we pulled the toilet off, and it turns out that the flange had been rebuilt, and there were several layers of spacers on there, PVC spacers, that were designed to make up the difference between the original floor and the new finished floor, which had been installed at some point later. And to solve that problem properly, you have a few options. One of them involves breaking free the original cast iron flange and pouring a new lead joint. This is an age-old technique that plumbers did 50, 75 years ago, where they would put a cast iron flange on, pack the joint with oakum and lead, and pour hot lead into this joint. We were ready to do that at that point. We thought, okay, we weren't expecting it, but we've got Richard Trefusi, a fourth generation plumber here, who can certainly tackle that, and we were ready to do it. But it turned out that the cast iron was a slightly larger diameter than the current cast iron flanges that you can buy today. So a new cast iron flange simply wasn't going to fit on that old cast iron pipe. So we're there in real time, really scratching our heads, trying to figure out, what are we going to do now? You know, we were in the middle of this project. We've pulled the whole thing apart. And Richard was able to come up with a solution where we found a new type of flange that seals from the inside of the cast iron pipe, a PVC flange that with a gasket seals on the inside of the flange. And we were able to get one of those in time, and this was one of those nights Kevin describes where we were all eating pizza at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. But we were able to get that new flange installed because Richard was able to come up with that solution. And you know, a few hours later, we were back in business.
Well, we are talking about home improvement and Ask This Old House television show. You can join the conversation by calling 866-476-3881. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I'm Leslie Weidenbender, sitting in for John Kroll. We're talking about home improvement today with our guests, Kevin O'Connor, host of Ask This Old House, Chris Wolf, the show's producer, and Vicki Kenworthy Wright, an agent with Carpenter Realtors in Indianapolis. We've had a few questions, one from Shannon on Twitter. She says that their rural Indiana farmhouse is 174 years old. She said finding qualified craftsmen has been tough. She wants to know, do we have a shortage of those kind of folks, in particularly here, maybe in central Indiana? And how do you go about finding good quality folks to work on your house?
Well, I always recommend that you go to Angie's List to look for someone. But if you are looking for a specific type of repairman, find someone who has a home similar to yours. Knock on their door. Ask them, hey, who did the work for you? And then get a recommendation. I think a personal recommendation from someone who has used that person and has had a very satisfactory outcome would be a good way to go. But Angie's List is great for that sort of thing.
Angie's List is actually a sponsor of our show and a great partner for us. When we travel on the road, we often use their service to identify contractors who are in a position to help us out. So I certainly agree with that. You know, I would say it's also important that homeowners, they have a good conversation with their contractors, that you interview them and that you do your
Absolutely.
Due diligence. And it is a real partnership. If you are about to embark on a big project with a contractor, you really need to see it as a partnership. And that means that you need to invest in it, and that you invest time in selecting someone, but also in determining the scope of the project and making sure that everyone's on the same page when the project begins.
And don't you think that helps if they have in writing, I expect to have hardwood floors, I expect to have the bathroom. Everything should be in writing and almost an estimation of the date, so that no one is questioning.
Absolutely. And it's important, too, that you be as specific in those descriptions
Absolutely.
As possible. Hardwood floors means different things to different people.
Right.
So it is important to really spell out in as much detail what your expectations are and what the contractor is expecting as well.
We have actually a Facebook question from Roxana about hardwood floors. She wants to know what's the best way to refinish them, and is there an alternative to sanding? Kevin, with all the work you've done, why don't you give this one a try?
Well, the best way to refinish them is to sand them, because you can really bring them back, make them look almost like new. If you're going to go through the sanding process, people should be aware that while a solid hardwood floor may be 3/4 of an inch thick, there is actually a wear layer. There's a tongue and groove connection made along the side of the board, so you can't actually sand them forever. And so before you embark on a big sanding refinishing project, you should have the person who's going to do that job for you, you should get a good sense as to whether or not you can continue to take another 1/16 or so of an inch off in the sanding process. As an alternative to sanding, depending on how bad the floors are or maybe how good the floors are, there's spot repairs that you can also make. If there are certain places that are problematic, you can sometimes replace areas with matching hardwood. A good carpenter can get the old stuff up and new stuff in. But there's also a screening process, so it's almost like sanding, but it's far less aggressive. It'll take off the old polyurethane and maybe even a little bit of the wear on the top of the hardwood floors, and then when you repoly or restain, it'll bring them back quite nicely. It won't be as aggressive as sanding, but the results can be pretty dramatic. We've shown how to do pretty much all three of those, both the aggressive sanding, the screening, and the replacement on the show. A guy like Tom Silva can do it, and when he's done, the floors look pretty good.
I wish we could keep you guys around forever, for days, to answer these kinds of questions for us, but we're going to go to Hannah, who's from Indianapolis, with a question. Go ahead, Hannah.
It's Anna.
I'm sorry about that, Anna.
Okay. I have a 1958 home. It's a regular ranch-style house with a galley kitchen. in that kitchen is a back door, and I'm going to be remodeling the kitchen, and I'm considering the options of bricking up and then walling up where that back door was, and I just wondered the pros and cons of doing that.
I'd like to go to Vicki first, if you don't mind, to talk about what that might mean for the property value.
Well, the aesthetics of having a door to go outside, if it is an exterior door, I'm not sure exactly where it goes to. I don't think it's ever a good idea to get rid of it if it's something, the only back door you have. Galley kitchens are great. If you feel that would give you access to the backyard or to your deck or to your patio, then maybe that would be a good way to go. I'd consider a nice French door, something that gives it a little more appeal, not seeing your home. I'm not sure if you would want something, a sliding door. I don't know.
Would removing the door allow you to change the configuration of the kitchen?
I'm sorry, she's not with us anymore to answer.
Yeah, I'm with you there. If it changed the configuration and it changed it to a more open kitchen, then a lot of people do still like eat-in kitchens, especially if they have children. So that would be, I think we'd just have to take it on a case-by-case basis and look at the house and see.
We're going to go to Steve in Indianapolis, who has a question. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, it's kind of a comment/question. I always thought, I've watched this old house forever, and I renovated an old home myself, a 1928 home. And after going through that process, you encounter the things that they've been talking about, where when you start tearing out walls, you find things that you thought was going to take a day to fix, and it ends up taking 3 weeks to fix. And after going through that process and ended up with a beautiful home at the end, I kind of came to the conclusion that, you could really easily take a Vinyl Village sort of home, which is what probably a majority of people live in, and you could add the charm of an old home into those kind of homes so easily. And I always wondered if they considered a segment or something on this old house where they did that, where they took a very generic Vinyl Village sort of home, beige carpeting, white walls, did simple things like add wood casings to the door frames, added, wood trim to the windows. It really brought in the charm of an old home, but where you didn't have to gut everything. And I just thought that'd be a really interesting angle and relatable angle for a lot of people, and if they'd ever consider doing something like that on the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Steve. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that those kind of improvements can make a big difference. Mm-hmm. When you see an addition that's done and the contractor hasn't paid particular attention to those kind of details, the trim work, the moldings, the wainscoting, things like that, it can make that addition feel like something other, something that has been sort of pasted onto the outside of the house. And so I think absolutely. We've done a couple projects on the show where Tom Silva has done just that, where he's taken a very plain opening or a doorway and added, he's matched the molding profile from a different part of the house and installed that molding in, and it really does tie the whole house together.
But as a realtor, I also want to caution you, when you're in a subdivision and you want to do some of these things to your home, if you're going to be living in it and you make an investment in solid doors, six-panel solid doors and the granite countertop, but you're in an area where that's not expected of your home, you don't want to over-improve. Now, that's the realtor talking. So, yeah. But, yes, it can be done, and it can be done very lovely. We've seen plenty of them.
And sort of a low-impact way of maybe achieving some of those goals is to consider architectural salvage. Sometimes
yes.
You can find great pieces that don't necessarily have to be built in, but they do have some character, they do have some history to them, and they can add that kind of charm to an existing home without a lot of a work on the homeowner's part. I believe in Indianapolis you've got a great architectural salvage
place. We
do. Place.
Wonderful.
It's called Docks.
Over 30th, or I'm not sure exact address, but yeah, we do have.
Kevin, tell us a little bit about the show, This New House.
Well, This New House is a bit of a different idea than This Old House or Ask This Old House. What we were doing with that show was trying to show off sort of all the latest and greatest technology in the home business, in the home industry. And so there was lots of talk about energy efficiency, and you can imagine what those stores are like in terms of solar technology, super insulation, but also different ways to think about homes. We showed housing styles that were made out of metal shipping containers, prefabricated home entire subdivisions that were put up, built in a factory, brought on to the job site. And on this old house, and even on Asta's old house, where we're spending a lot of time knocking around these old houses, half the country lives in a house that's 50 years or younger, and a lot of people just have an affinity for newer houses. So this new house is really just that. What's on the forefront of home technology, home efficiency, and we just crisscrossed the country and showed people what was out there.
We've got a question from Barbara on Facebook. She says she has a 73-year-old house with wood, storm, and screen windows on the bottom and aluminum on the top floor. She's been trying for 20 years to convince her husband, this is sounding a little bit familiar to me actually, convince her husband to get new windows. She wants to know if that's a good idea, and do you have any suggestions for how to push her husband into it?
Well, generally speaking, you've got two types of windows. You've got a single pane window operable on the inside, and then it's got a storm screen on the outside. Sometimes a triple track. In her case, it sounds like there's a combination of triple track as well as wood. And then you've got double pane insulating glass window. It's much more modern. They tend to be more efficient, and they would forego that exterior storm and screen system. I personally think it's proven out that it can be very expensive to upgrade single-pane windows to double-pane insulating glass windows. And people will always tell you, oh, well, it's a huge improvement in the efficiencies. It will definitely be an improvement in the efficiencies, but you'll be going from the way we look at this stuff is from an R1 or 2 to an R3 or 4, which, quite honestly, isn't that big of an improvement for efficiencies. My point being, you can have a perfectly good single-pane window that is efficient and functioning if you have a good storm on the outside. You want to make them airtight. You want to tune them up. But there's nothing out there that says you should definitely, absolutely upgrade these things to double-pane windows. Now, I've got those wooden storm windows on some of the windows in my house, and I'll tell you, I can't wait to replace them because you got to pull them off, you know, once a year, put on the screens back and forth. And that's really just a convenience factor. And so I'm probably not the right person to convince her husband to do it because I haven't done it for a couple years in my own house. But I'm waiting to do it because I love the ability just to sort of open my windows, move the storm out of the way, and have the screen right there.
We're going to go to Priscilla. Priscilla, you have a question. Go ahead.
Yes, I have two comments. One is about the issue of condominiums that they were talking about earlier. I just wanted to mention that condominiums are not as simple as regular freestanding homes. The utilities between the walls of the condominiums with another condominium are actually owned by both condominium owners, and the condominium association itself may have some interest in that. So the legality of doing anything in the walls or that involves another unit, both physically and legally, is kind of complicated. The next thing that I wanted to say, I've redone two old homes of over 100 years each, and I have found through wear and tear and doing it bit by bit that the most important thing to me, and I want to see what your contractors say, is that the bones of the house are good. The foundation and the heating and cooling, the plumbing and electricity. You know, you have to know how much you're going to spend on each of those things because they're all very expensive. And if one, those are things that, again, have big surprises involved in my experience.
Well, thanks very much for your question, Priscilla. Vicki, let's go to you first to talk a little bit about the condo situation.
Well, you don't want to go into a condo situation thinking that you're going to go in and make tons of renovations that go through to somebody else's wall, because that's not going to happen. But if it's your condo inside, from the walls in, you can do what you want. And your plumbing in a condo situation, and you should probably check on it, make sure that you aren't in plumbing with some other unit. Your plumbing should be your plumbing. Your electric should be your electric.
Kevin, can you talk a little bit about Priscilla's other question or other comments about the need to get a house with good bones?
Well, I think she's right. I mean, it's akin to what we were talking about earlier. There are certain categories that the homeowner, when they're looking for that house, should be thinking about in terms of stuff that they're probably not going to do and are probably going to be big projects if there's problems. The foundation, as she said, the sill, the roof, the electrical system behind the walls, certainly the mechanical equipment. If her point is when you're shopping for a house, to keep your eyes and antennas up for those types of things, she's spot on. I mean, you could come across a situation. If you've got to repair a foundation, you could spend $30,000 in the blink of an eye doing something like that, and you have no choice but to do it. It's very different than saying, oh, the hardwood floors under the carpet weren't as nice as I had expected. That's an easy fix. So there are definitely things that make a big impact on a house. The bones, I guess, is that category. You want to make sure they're in good shape, or if they're not, you want to get a real good handle on what it's going to cost for you to fix those things up.
We've only got a couple of more minutes, but I just have to ask about the What Is segment that's on Ask This Old House. For those listeners who maybe haven't seen it, there's always a mystery item. Chris, can you tell us how that segment was born and where you get the stuff?
Sure. The What Is It segment is something that we have a lot of fun with. We hope the viewers enjoy as well. It probably grew out of my watching the show as a fan long before I worked for This Old House, and sort of watching it and realizing, boy, there's a tool for everything. You see these guys, and Tom Silva says, now we're going to pull all the shingles off the side of this house, and to do that, I'm going to use my shingle puller, and he has the perfect tool for it. And I was thinking about a way of sort of acknowledging that in the show, and also having a part of the show that is engaging, that the viewers can really actively participate in and get involved in. And so those two things kind of came together in the idea for a What Is It segment. But I don't think any of us really expected where it would go, that it would turn into the part of the show that a lot of people look forward to and the part that they remember. And, I don't think anybody could have expected some of the crazy guesses that that our guys come up with week after week. So,
well, that's my favorite segment, I have to tell you. Well, thanks so much to my guests. We've been talking about Ask This Old House and Home Improvement with Kevin O'Connor, host of the show. Thanks so much for being here, Kevin.
My pleasure. Thank you for having us.
We've also had Chris Wolf, the show's producer. Thank you, Chris.
This was fun. Thanks.
And Vicki Kenworthy Wright, an agent with Carpenter Realtors. Thank you so much for being here.
Delightful. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I'm Leslie Weidenbender, and I was in today for John Kroll. He'll be back next week.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.